Okay, we're going to have a look this morning at another psalm. This time it's going to be Psalm 90. And Psalm 90 sits at the beginning of Book 4. And this one has the heading, which is a little bit different from most of the others, A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. And you can find this on page 480 in the church Bibles if you are following there. Let's have a look at the psalm. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it's dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands.
Heavenly Father, we ask that as we look at this short psalm, Lord, please teach us to number our days. Please teach us to trust you and to live for you. We pray too that you'll teach us to use the days that you give us, to use them well. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 14, verse 1, opens with a simple line, the kind of line you'd share with your friends at work. A fool says in his heart, there is no God. There's no beating around the bush there. It says very clearly that putting God out of the picture, it's not wise. And then the second half of verse 1 of Psalm 14 says, so the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. A life without acknowledging God, well, it's not wise, it's not good, and it's not right, and yet many, many people will do it. They'll choose to be foolish. And then hand in hand with not acknowledging God comes not accepting our own mortality. Hand in hand with that, with not acknowledging God comes with not accepting and acknowledging our own limitations. We put God aside and we fill the void with ourself. And as we do that, we fail to see our finiteness, we fail to acknowledge our frailty, and we fail to see our folly as well. As we look at verse 12 of Psalm 90, just run your eyes down to there, it says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. There's wisdom, a heart of wisdom that's gained when we number our days. What does it mean to number your days? Well, I take it means to understand that we're not immortal, to acknowledge our finiteness and our frailty. If we can do that, it opens us up to gaining a wise heart, and it points us back, pushes us back to God. But remembering our days, or numbering our days, it's not always easy. We tend to want to forget our mortality by making plans without factoring in many, many, many things that are out of our control, like the weather, or our health, or other people's forgetfulness. We plan like there'll always be tomorrow. We refuse to accept that we can't do what we used to when we're younger. We enter into jobs, into contracts, without even thinking that we may not be here next year. We're not always good at numbering our days. But when we disregard our mortality like that, there's any number of ways that we're rudely reminded of the truth. When our frail bodies fall apart, and when people forget appointments we've made, and when it pours with rain, when we want good weather, we're reminded that there's all these things that are outside our control because we are not God. And the psalmist sees this as a good thing, that we're reminded of our frailty and our mortality. The psalmist in Psalm 90, verse 12, calls out to God, "Teach us to number our days, so that we'll be wise." The psalmist sees it as a good thing to know that our days are limited, because it points us back to God. The psalmist himself points us back to God as well, God who is infinite, immortal, God who we should be acknowledging, trusting, and living for. So the psalm opens by praising God and his immortality. Look at verse 2, for example. Verse 2 goes, "Before the mountains were born, or brought forth the whole world, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God." He's eternal. He always has been, always will be, and he's brought everything into being. He's the source of everyone and everything. So then in verse 1, the psalmist invites those who are praying with him to acknowledge that God's always been there for them too. So verse 1 goes, "Lord, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations. You've been there with us. We've been with you throughout all generations." If you say there's no God, you're a fool. If you ignore your mortality, you're a fool. And in this psalm, it's our mortality that teaches us wisdom, pushes us back to God, God who is infinite, God who is there for us. And so as we consider the psalmist's words, his words to God, his prayer to God, in fact, as we consider his words to God, we also read them as God's word to us. We've been saying this each week as we open the psalms. This is, as well as the psalmist speaking to God, it's God speaking to us, teaching us, training us. And as we read Psalm 90 as God's word to us, we need to pay attention to the context. Where does it fit into the Psalter? Where does it fit into the nation of Israel at that point in time? And we need to be asking the question, how does Jesus fulfill it? How does this point us back to Christ? We want to know, what does this psalm say to us today? As far as context goes, as Di pointed out when she gave the reading, this is the very beginning of the fourth book of the Psalms, or the Psalter. There's 150 psalms, and this is book 4, the very first psalm in book 4. The title, or the Hebrew verse 0 over this psalm, says a prayer of Moses, the man of God. It's the only psalm that has that title, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Moses is the man that God chose to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt. He's the man that led the Exodus. Moses is forever associated with the Exodus. The Old Testament prophets, though, when you read through the Old Testament, they speak of the end of the exile in Babylon. They speak of that in terms of Exodus-type language. And so book 3 of the Psalms, we've looked at the last book, the last psalm in book 3 last week, Psalm 89. Book 3, as you read through, keeps coming back to the sadness of the exile, this exile away from God, this exile in Babylon. Psalm 89 that we looked at last week asks God the question, how long? And then we turn to book 4, And it opens with a prayer of Moses, putting Moses' prayer to paper. Perhaps something Moses prayed when he led the people around in the desert for 40 years. Perhaps when the people were asking how long. Just have a look down in verse 13 of Psalm 90. It says there, "Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants." It sounds like echoes of last week's Psalm, Psalm 89. So book 4 picks up where book 3 ended, with this question of how long, God, how long before you'll keep your promises? Book 4 opens by pointing backwards, though. It brings Moses back into the picture, the man of God who knew what it meant to wait. And by zooming in on Moses, Psalm 90 also points forward to Jesus, because as we read this as Christians, we know that Jesus is bigger and better than Moses. He's a better prophet than Moses. And we also know that Jesus leads another exodus, the exodus from slavery to sin. Moses, he's at the start of book 4 in this psalm. This is his prayer, but he appears 7 more times in book 4 of the Psalms and only once outside it. It's like Moses is important in this section of the Psalter in book 4. And Moses isn't just associated with the Exodus, he's also associated with the law and the covenant. God heard the cry of his people in slavery in Egypt. He remembered his covenant with Abraham, and so he sent Moses to bring them out of slavery. God gathered his people around Mount Sinai and spoke to them. And at Mount Sinai, he cut another covenant with his people. He said, "You'll be my people and I'll be your God." Moses is associated with that covenant. So where Psalm 89 closes book 3, contemplating the covenant with David, and where is the king that you've promised, Psalm 90 opens and pushes us back to God's faithfulness through history, right back to Moses and beyond. Further back behind the covenants, it keeps pushing you to the God who keeps these promises. Pushes us back to God's eternal character, his faithfulness. He's a covenant-keeping God. God cut a covenant with Noah, with Abraham, with the nation of Israel, and then with David. Book 3 finishes with this cry of how long before your king comes? Book 4 goes, look further back. God's faithful. He keeps covenants. Book 4 of the Psalms pushes behind the covenant with David back to God's faithfulness and to his character. And then, as it does that, Book 4, the Psalms in Book 4, pushes our eyes up to God, trusting in him and not in humans. Book 4's response to Psalm 89, how long until you bring your king, is basically, God is your king. He's never stopped being king. He's completely in control. It's like as you read through the Psalms that make up Book 4, it gives you a different angle on how the people of God react to being judged by God. You won't find a lot of mentions of the king in the line of David in these Psalms, but there's a lot of mention of God ruling or God being king. And so that's the context in which this psalm comes. We're at the start of Book 4, and this psalm at the start of Book 4, Psalm 90, invites us to pray. Invites us to pray with Moses. As we've already looked at verses 1 and 2, but look at them again. The psalm, it breaks into 4 sections, just like you saw in the kids' spot. Verses 1 and 2, they're all about God. Verse 1 goes, "Lord, you've been our dwelling place through all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." When it says the word Lord, it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's Yahweh. He's always been there. He's eternal. Moses is inviting us to pray to the God who's in complete control, who's made everything, who's eternal, who's faithful, and who's consistent. So verses 1 and 2, it's all about God, setting our attention towards God. And then verses 3 to 6 turn to us as human beings and our temporariness, our transience. Verse 3 goes, "You turn people back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, you mortals.'" The eternal God, he made us out of dust. He sends us back to dust. Our life is finite and short. We're just passing through this world that God has made. And then verses 4 to 6 contrast our transient with God's eternalness. Verse 4 goes, "1,000 years in your sight are like a day that's just gone by, or like a watch in the night. It's just a moment. 1,000 years is a moment to you." We think turning 50 is a milestone. I guess it is, but to God, that's just a blink. It's nothing. It's a moment. And this verse 5 goes, yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They're like the new grass of the morning. In the morning, it springs up new, but by evening, it's dry and withered. Our life, it just rushes by. Before you know it, it's gone. So verses 1 and 2, it's all about the eternal God. Verses 3 to 6 declares our mortality. And then verses 7 to 12 zooms in on the reason why our life is so fleeting. So verse 7 goes, we're consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You've set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. Death is God's punishment for sin. The reason our life is so short is because we're descended from Adam and Eve, who said, we'll live like God doesn't exist, who chose to be foolish. They chose their way over God's way. And so death has entered the world as God's punishment for sin. And if we choose to ignore the reality of death, if we foolishly fail to number our days, then we continue in the folly of Adam and Eve. The reason our days are numbered is because it's God's judgment for sin. And so verse 9 goes, all our days pass away. Under your wrath, we finish our years with a moan. This world that we live in, it's being judged by God, waiting for Jesus to return. Verse 10 goes on, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and fly away. And as you read that, you look around the room, you think, oh, some of you made it to 70. Some of you made it to 80. Some of them made it past 90. You've had strength to endure like that, and the rest of us marvel and want to mine your wealth of wisdom that you have. But to God, 100 years is just a blink. 1,000 years are just like a day. Our short existence and our struggle to keep on living, it should point us to the reality that God is angry at sin. We don't have eternal life in this earth because of sin. And that should teach us to fear God. So verse 11 goes, if only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The psalmist is saying it is a good thing that our days are numbered. The psalmist invites us to pray with Moses, to pray that we will see. Life is short because sin is real and God judges sin. This is a prayer of Moses which Israel was invited to pray maybe during the exile, maybe after the exile. And it's a prayer that we can pray as Christians too. And when you think about it from a kind of New Testament angle, you'll hear echoes of it. As you've read through the psalm, can you think where it pops up in the New Testament? I can think of one definite place. It's in 2 Peter chapter 3. The Apostle Peter, he calls to mind the words of this psalm as he's looking forward to the day when Jesus will return. And he goes in 2 Peter 3 verse 8, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. You can hear the psalm in the background. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness, if you're saying how long. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. As we pray with the psalmist, teach us to number our days, we're praying that God would help us see that this life is finite because sin is real. We know this life is fleeting, and we pray that God would teach us to turn back to him. And we pray that God would teach those who are dear to us to turn back to him as well. So this prayer of Psalm 90, it's got the four movements through it. Verses 1 and 2, it's all about God focusing in on him, telling us to trust him. Verses 3 to 6 talk about our transience, our mortality. Verses 7 to 12 grapple with the reason our days are numbered, because the eternal God is judging sin. And then verses 13 to 17 turns back to God again, praying and asking God to help us live in the light of his wisdom, this wisdom we've gained by understanding that our days are numbered. So it goes verse 13, relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Keep coming back to God, praising him. ask God to teach you to number your days so that you'll bring your praise and your service and your joy to God. And then it goes on praying and asking God to teach us to number our days, to make each of our days worthwhile in verses 15 to 16. So it goes in verse 15, make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we've seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to your children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. It's like saying or praying that what we do will actually last, because now we've gained wisdom. We know our days are few. Our prayer is that we'll spend them well and that God would keep teaching us to live for him, that God would make our toil worthwhile. And again, if you we're reading this as Christians, we're looking back at it from a New Testament perspective. If you pick up in 2 Peter again, so 2 Peter, it goes, do not forget this one thing, a thousand, with the Lord, a day is like a thousand years are like a day, but he's not slow in keeping his promises. Then you jump to verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. And then verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. There's the heart of wisdom that the psalm talks about. When we understand the limit of our days, when we understand that God is being patient with us, giving us time to repent, it leads us to number our days. It leads us to want to live for God through all our days. If we can acknowledge our life is short, if we can acknowledge that God's judgment of sin is real, then we're driven back to God in repentance. And we want to live in a way that pleases him. We seek to live every moment for him. God, who sent Jesus as our Moses to save us from slavery to sin, to save us from the futility of living under God's judgment, God who sent Jesus to us wants us to live for Jesus with everything that we have. Looking to eternity when we'll be around God forever, singing his praises. And so as we want to make this psalm our words, as we want to turn this psalm into our words to God, I think there's two things we're praying. Firstly, we're praying and asking God to teach us to number our days. And secondly, I reckon we're praying and asking God to establish the work of our hands, to make the things that we do for him last. We want to spend our days serving King Jesus, not just as an engineer or a teacher or a scientist or an accountant or a plumber or a parent. We want to serve God not just as, but as a Christian engineer, a Christian teacher, a Christian parent. When you have a bad day, let it remind you of your mortality, that this life is fleeting. When you have a bad day, pray that God would teach you to number your days. When you're having a bad day, let it remind us that we live in this world that's fallen, that's judged, that's broken. Don't get too comfortable here. And we pray that God would teach us to expect, not to expect to be comfortable, not to be part of this world forever, not to expect to fit in. And when we have a bad day, we pray, establish the work of our hands, asking God to help us keep being godly through every moment of this mess. Asking God to help us be honest and hardworking, even when it's not easy. And as we make this psalm our prayer, we pray, teach us to number our days. We pray, establish the work of our hands. It means when you're faced with big, significant decisions, we make those choices with our mortality in mind, and with the goal of serving God into eternity. Our decisions won't be based on making a permanent home here on earth. It won't be based on storing up our treasure here. Our decisions will be based on storing up our treasure in heaven as we seek to see more people gathered around God, singing his praises. So the fool says in his heart, there's no God, and hand in hand with that, the fool fails to acknowledge their mortality. The prayer of Psalm 90 asks God to give us godly wisdom, a heart of wisdom that pushes us back to God, acknowledging our mortality and the reason for it, pushing us to repentance and to trusting in God's faithfulness, because God is a forever faithful covenant-keeping God. And so the psalm opens, Lord, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are our God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this short and easy psalm. Lord, thank you for the reminder that our days are limited. We pray that you would teach us that truth. Lord, please keep pushing us back to repentance. And Lord, we pray that you would establish the work of our hands. We pray that we would spend our days bringing glory to you, building treasure in heaven, seeing more people gathered around you and praising you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.